KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly sunny sky, and it's 57 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today. High of 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Iowa State Patrol is holding a special enforcement effort that runs through this Labor Day. Trooper John Farley said there's a continued focus on bringing down the number of drivers who are clocked at excessive speeds.
If you take a look at our Facebook page and our Twitter feeds, you'll see many, many posts about people exceeding not only 25 miles an hour over the speed limit, but over the 100 mile an hour mark, and you'll see how significantly it has increased in the last 4 years, from being relatively normal to having a 47% increase last year, and now we're looking at upwards of 85% increase in those.
And Farley says those types of drivers have increased by 47% last year, and this year the increase is around 85%. He says it's one thing that can be controlled and keep accidents from happening.
Speed is a factor in every collision. No matter what, speed is a factor. We can say we have icy roads or we have fog or somebody runs a stop sign. Speed is still a factor because cars are moving. And we have to make sure that we understand that. We're driving within our capabilities. We're driving within the law.
And he says excessive speed magnifies the problems created when something does go wrong on the roadway.
It just creates more catastrophe when those collisions occur.
Harley said the Labor Day weekend usually does not have as many accidents as the other holidays, and they want to be sure that excessive speed does not change that. Police around the country are reporting that as roads and highways emptied during the pandemic, some drivers took advantage by pushing well past the speed limit that was posted. It's a trend that statistics show is continuing even as states reopen. The head of the Ohio State Patrol says troopers have issued 2,200 tickets since April for driving more than 100 miles per hour. That's a 61% increase over the same time period from a year ago. July was also Ohio's worst month for fatal crashes in 2007. California, Iowa, and Utah are among several states reporting similar year-over-year increases in high speeds. Officials at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources are investigating a fatal hunting incident. Authorities on Saturday say that September 5th, around 5 p.m., the DNR conservation officers responded to a fatal hunting incident at Fish Farm Mounds Wildlife Area near New Albion, Iowa. Investigators found a 46-year-old male from St. Paul, Minnesota, dead at the scene. The man was believed to be squirrel hunting at Fish Farm Mounds Wildlife Area prior to his death. The name of the man was being withheld pending family notification. The incident is under investigation by the DNR and the Allamaquia County Sheriff's Office. Two people, including a child, died in separate UTV crashes Saturday morning in Iowa. State Patrol says an accident in Decatur County claimed the life of 3-year-old Wyatt Archer Mosier of Leon. The crash happened at around 8:40 a.m. Authorities say the child was a passenger on a John Deere UTV with two other relatives who were minors. The machine was being operated on private property. When the older driver and older passenger dismounted from the machine, the 3-year-old moved into the driver's seat and accelerated the UTV. The machine struck a parked fifth-wheel trailer. The boy died from his injuries at the Decatur County Hospital. The second UTV accident happened about an hour later in northern Iowa's Clayton County. The State Patrol says a 2004 Toyota Avalon driven by 23-year-old Jasmine Jones of Cedar Rapids and a 2016 Polaris Ranger operated by 72-year-old Byron Meyer of Postville were both northbound on Gunder Road near the intersection of 120th Street. As the Toyota and a non-contact vehicle were overtaking the UTV, Meyer attempted to turn west onto 120th. When his UTV collided with the Toyota, Meyer, who was unrestrained in the machine, was ejected and died at the scene. His passenger, 68-year-old Eileen Meyer, also of Postville, was wearing a seatbelt. She was transported by Postville EMS to the hospital in Decorah for treatment of her injuries. The accident remains under investigation. Officials at the Iowa Department of Corrections said Saturday that 33-year-old Corey Sherdahl McGee, a black male who was convicted of robbery in the second degree and other crimes in Dubuque County, failed to report back to the Dubuque residential facility as required Friday night. McGee stands 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 372 pounds. There is a picture of him in the same story on our news page. He was admitted to work release facility on July 29th of this year. Anyone with information about McGee's whereabouts or location should contact your local authorities. A report from the Environmental Defense Fund doesn't directly blame the powerful derecho that hit Iowa last month on climate change, but it does address the financial drain on society attributed to shifting weather patterns. LG Holstein, the fund's senior director of strategic planning, says there's a military term called threat multipliers that perfectly applies to the current situation.
When you have one big problem going on, like we have right now with COVID-19, and then another one comes along, in this case driven by climate change, major severe weather events, it just doubles and triples the impact on local governments, on businesses, on communities and families.
Iowa's already dealing with a near 50% reduction in revenue due to the pandemic, Holstein says, which makes it harder to address recovering from severe weather. The derecho on August 10th packed record winds up to 140 miles an hour, knocked out power to more than 500,000 Iowans, wiped out acres, millions of acres of crops, and damaged hundreds of homes. Was the derecho due to climate change?
We're not saying that any particular storm in a particular time in a particular place is necessarily driven by climate change. It takes a while for scientists to figure that out. But the report that we've put out summarizes the fact that climate change is definitely responsible for some of it.
The report points to other weather extremes, like how so-called 100-year floods happen in Iowa every couple of years now, and certainly more than once a century. During the 1980s, Holstein said the nation's severe weather events caused $17 billion in damage. Today, it's more like $80 billion. He says the financial impact of climate change is taking far too big of a toll.
We're seeing the trouble that's happening in Washington, D.C., trying to get money to places like Iowa that are suffering these severe weather events. That's why we've got to do something about climate change. We can't just keep turning to Washington, D.C., expecting big check writing in order to relieve the burdens of these severe storms.
The solutions, he says, lie in areas where Iowa is already a leader, like the production of biofuels from corn and soybeans.
Iowa's ranked first in the nation in its share of electricity that you generate by wind, and more of that attention to renewable energy sources, to clean energy, is exactly the direction we need to move in order to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions from fossil fuels that drives climate change.
In other news, an eastern Iowa hog farmer has been sentenced to life in prison in the death of his wife, who was impaled in the back with a corn rake. Iowa District Court Judge Thomas Bitter issued the required sentence of life without parole Friday for 44-year-old Todd Mullis. Mullis was convicted in September of 2019 in the death of his wife, 39-year-old Amy Mullis, on the couple's farm near Earlville. Mullis has maintained his innocence. Prosecutors say he was furious that his wife was having an affair and feared that he'd lose the farm if she divorced him. The sentencing hearing was postponed four times because of restrictions related to the coronavirus. Des Moines police have made a second arrest in the murder of a man who was shot to death in a neighborhood near the Drake University. Police on Friday said they charged 27-year-old Michael Jermaine Jacobs of Des Moines with first-degree murder in the death of 36-year-old Sean Newman of Des Moines. 33-year-old Whitney Ann Davis of Des Moines was charged a day earlier with first-degree murder in the case. Police said in a news release that the evidence indicates that Jacobs was the person who shot and killed Newman on Wednesday. Detectives are continuing the investigation, but no additional arrests are expected. And that is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.